It is time for Main Street Magazine. When we bring Thorin in, we take a look at the magazine a little piece by piece as we go through the month. Good morning, Thorin.
Good morning. How are you today?
Not too bad. Not too bad, you know. I'm kind of like the weather. I'm there. It's not too bad, but nothing spectacular. That's what the weather
is. That's
about.
Okay, too.
You know, I just smiled broadly when I looked on MainStreetMag.com, and I saw on the cover, a Dodge DeSoto. If that were in a barn, I think it would be considered a barn find. But and the reason I smile is I had relatives in New Jersey who owned a Dodge DeSoto. It wasn't that color. It was a green one. But so it's nice to see. That's a great way to start the day when I saw that. Who took that picture?
Olivia, or Libby, she took it, and I actually just saw the car the other day. It's right in Ancrumdale on Route 3.
Pretty amazing. Well, anyway, we are into a new month. It is October, and first story we'll talk about is your artist profile, Chasing the Dream.
This featured local artist Jane Harold, and we actually featured her husband last month, so it's kind of a nice connection there. But you know, for me personally, you know, reading her story was wonderful, but seeing her work is just phenomenal. I was in awe of seeing her work in some of the photos here, and I hope our readers are too. But it tells her story of how and where she got to where she is today, and it also references that she's taking part in Clayway, which is I think happening right now in this month. October 16th and 17th, and so it's a little thing that folks can actually partake in the your corner of Connecticut there.
It's interesting to take a look at the different things that people can participate in, and that's why I always say that having a magazine like yours, both for pickup and also online, goes along, because there are so many things out here that and so many different people put things in so many different locations. You've got it covered pretty good. I want to go to the next story that strikes my fancy, and that's we're in October. My mother ran a series of stores called the Card Gallery. Christmas was their biggest time of year. Second biggest time of year, Halloween. Not only for the masks and stuff, but for candy. And so you've got the Halloween phenomenon.
So Christine's a business feature this month. She didn't interview one entrepreneur, but she took a look at the business of Halloween. And it's kind of interesting, and you know, obviously it affects, you know, local businesses and all of our communities. So I thought it was a nice little change up, and she talks about, you know, it possibly being the oldest holiday and how and why Halloween came about, and then the impact that it has on, you know, Halloween economics, if you will. And you know, like she references CVS and other stores and comparing it to Christmas and the different things that are involved in it, whether it be the candy or the costumes or something, or, you know, the pumpkins or whatever it may be.
Yeah, no, it's one of those holidays that's a sneaky holiday. And like my mother used to say all the time, and you have to prepare for Halloween so much earlier, because Halloween was always the traditional Halloween to Thanksgiving was when you did your switch over back then for Christmas and the holidays. It's not that way now. I mean, everything happens and comes up on you so quick. So that's a good story on Halloween there. But seeing as we're talking about October and Halloween, why not pumpkin bread?
Yeah, Libby, who also took our cover, was busy this month, and she brought us pumpkin bread with cream with crumb topping. And so it's this recipe makes two loaves, and so she walks us through her little fun adventure of making this, and how she adds in a little personal touch there that her kids, who the birds who flew the nest, have stolen some of her her material. So she was having a little bit of a hard time finding things to make this, but obviously good for the season, and for the folks who love pumpkin everything, you know, they should definitely give this a try and let us know how they like it.
What makes it different for me is the crumb topping, because everybody knows, well, when I was growing up, living in Kingston, New York, with a bunch of other guys, we used to eat Edamame's crumb cake all the time, and 9 times out of 10, we would just eat the crumbs on top of the cake. So it's great to see someone put that on top of that little loaf of bread there. If somebody makes me bread every once in a while, I'm going to ask them to do that. It's a great idea.
There you go. Changes it up a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. The birth of the national park system here, and that's by Peter Vermillier.
So this is technically our history issue for folks who didn't notice the logo on the inside, page 3 there. Page 4, actually. So Pete, for those who know him in the area, he's a, you know, not just a great teacher, but a great writer. And so he helped us with this piece to talk about the history of national parks, which obviously we have some in our area, but he kind of walks us through the how it came about and the very origins of it and the impact it has had, not just here on us locally and the areas around here, but, you know, across the country. And I thought it was a wonderful piece of not just information, but of Americana and the importance that they played then and what they have done and the impact of them up until today and what they still do today, the national parks, that is.
Well, you know, that, what's great about that story is that it gives I'll say students or anybody who's probably from a teenager on up, a chance to look back and see the history of the national park system. The National Park Service is just an amazing foresight, and you see where we are now. I think that if you talk to those people from back then, they'd be actually stunned by America's park system right now. It's amazing.
I think for sure. I mean, how could you not? But the impact that it's had in this country, I think it's just wonderful. The thousands or millions of acres that are preserved, and you know, they're just about in every state. So I was, you know, happy that Pete was able to write this piece for us, because I'd wanted to include something about the national parks in this issue, and because I would love to go travel and see all of them at some point. So that's a, you know, family goal here. But I just thought it was a important thing to have, and I'm really happy with the angle that he took with the story and it, to taking it very to the very origins of it.
All right, I want to end on one note, and it's not necessarily in this issue, but once again, the village of Millerton put on their first annual food festival a couple of weekends ago. And that was followed by, this past weekend, the Silo Ridge Rodeo. Mm-hmm. It was sold out, absolutely sold out. I from the pictures I see, it went off without a hitch.
It seems to. Griffin, you know, went for us, and he said it was just amazing. The rodeo was fantastic. The food was fantastic. He also said, you know, that the it was sold out. I think 2,800 tickets sold, and then they had the concert afterwards. And he had nothing but rave reviews. And he talked to the organizers who we worked with to help promote the event as well, and they were very nice, very helpful to a few of the vendors there, and a lot of people, and everyone was just thrilled with everything, how it was going, and they had a beautiful day for it.
Well, like I said, our internet connection seems to have gone a little south here. I will bid
you. Yeah, I got you now.
Okay, I heard everything you said, but I couldn't speak, which is not a bad thing, actually, probably. All right, Thor, well, we'll check with you next week.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
All right. Main Street Magazine. Of course, Main Street Magazine can be picked up at various locations throughout the tri-state region. And, of course, mainstreetmag.com on the web.